And we are back with another episode of Landsloan's show, and we just have tons of very important stories to get into and break down today. The Pentagon is asking for another $200 billion to fund the war in Iran. Joe Kent is under investigation, and the U.S. might lift sanctions on Iran as a part of its war against Iran. Truly unbelievable the level of incoherence coming out of the Trump administration at this time. So let's start off here, jump right in with this massive amount of money that the Department of War is now asking for. This from the AP. Pentagon seeds $200 billion in additional funds for the Iran war. And of course, who knows what this money is going to? Congress says, Mike Johnson says, oh, we'll get a detailed accounting of it from the Pentagon. But I don't really expect that. This is just going to be a massive slush fund for the Pentagon to use to wage war against Iran, how it chooses to, and for, you know, an extended period of time. This is $200 billion that we're talking about. This is a fifth of $1 trillion that we're just going to hand over to the Pentagon here. And, you know, this money will be for the war in Iran. I saw a source talking to Forbes say this could be to fund the war for 140 days. That's quite a long time. That's 4+ months that we're talking about fighting this conflict, this dragging on and on. It's also possible that by the time that this actually gets through Congress, it's going to be well over $200 billion. Now, there's no mention of if any of that $200 billion is going to include military aid for Israel. I highly suspect that the final bill will include some portion of additional funds for Israel to buy weapons or purchase their own weapons with American taxpayer dollars. Now, Pete Hegseth, was our Secretary of War, was talking about this today. So let's roll the first clip we have of Hegseth.
$200 billion. I think that number could move, obviously. It takes money to kill bad guys. So we're going back to Congress and our folks there to ensure that we're properly funded for what's been done, for what we may have to do in the future, ensure that our ammunition is, everything's refilled, and not just refilled, but above and beyond. I mean, President Trump, as he said, rebuilt the military in his first term. Didn't think he'd use it as dynamically in his second, but he had. So thank goodness he did that. And an investment like this is meant to say, hey, we'll replace anything that was spent. And now that we're reviving our defense industrial base and rebuilding the arsenal of freedom and cutting deals like our great deputy secretaries here is doing, long lead times on exquisite munitions, we're going to be refilled faster than anyone imagined. And I think, you know, we're also still dealing with the environment that Joe Biden created, which was depleting those stockholds and not sending them to our own military, but to Ukraine, which is when you, every time we reach back and look at any sort of a challenge we have, it goes back to, well, send it to Ukraine. Ultimately, we think this should be these munitions are better spent in our own interests at this point. And this kind of funding bill is going to ensure that we're properly funded going forward.
So I think there's three pretty important things in that clip there. The first is he's saying $200 billion, but that number could change, obviously. And then he goes on to say Tate's money to kill people, which is just a sick way to look at the world. Like, you know, we need to spend money because it's the American mission to go around the world murdering people, a lot of innocent people getting murdered and all this, a lot of civilians being killed in Iran with the American weaponry. But he's saying there that that number is going to go up, that $200 billion is not the bottom line, which isn't surprising when you look at, there was a recent ABC News story where they viewed the satellite imagery that is available and were able to conclude that at least 10 advanced American radar systems in the Middle East have been destroyed. Most of these radars are multi-billion dollar pieces of equipment. Now, I think the biggest kind of lie that Pete Hegseth has in that whole rant there as he's waving his arms around is that the American stockpiles are going to be replenished quickly. Sure, the Pentagon has this massive initiative where they're trying to rally the defense makers to make weapons faster, but these plants are, these munitions are complicated to build a new plant. It takes a lot of time because these are all specialty parts and things like that. So, you know, they're talking about 2030, they're going to be able to double the rate at which the U.S. is producing Patriot interceptors. But currently, the U.S. is using year supply of Patriot interceptors. As much as the U.S. could produce in a year, the U.S. is using that in over a week in Iran. The same thing with the THAAD and all of our other air defense systems that are in short supply. And so it's not going to be quick to replenish the U.S. stockpiles. It's going to take years, if not decades, to replenish the U.S. stockpiles and probably cost the taxpayer trillions of dollars in total. Because you're not just talking about this $200 billion pot of money right here. You're talking about all the other money the Pentagon is going to spend to give away to Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and all the other defense contractors in order for them to build new plants and to invest new money to be able to build, 1,200 Patriot missile interceptors a year versus 600 missile interceptors a year. And of course, there's probably going to be cost overruns. They're not going to produce the missiles as fast as they say they will. By the time they're able to produce the current iteration of the Patriot interceptor at capacity, they'll probably need to upgrade it to a new Patriot interceptor. And oh, that's going to cost a whole bunch of money to, you know, upgrade the plants alongside that. And it's going to cost the U.S. taxpayers even more. You know, this is just a huge boondoggle. It's meant to siphon off money from us for the elites in this country. So this isn't in any way a good deal. And it is going to leave the American stockpiles empty for some time to come. Now, the only thing he says in there that's true and worth noting, I guess, is that the American arms depots were emptied in some capacity by the Ukraine war, by Biden giving so much billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine. And at the time, I railed against the policy. I said it was really stupid for the United States of America to do this. And it would put us in a position where we didn't have the military assets we needed to fight a future war. Now, that should have been an argument against going to war in Iran in the first place. If our stockpiles are already emptied, if we're not in a position to fight a war already, then what the hell are we doing trying to fight a war against, of all countries in the world, Iran? I mean, you know, what Biden did is he took all the surplus Patriot interceptors the U.S. had and gave them to Ukraine. Iran, their entire military is built around their ballistic missile program where the Patriot interceptors are invaluable. And the same thing with all of our other platforms, right? That this is what we need in this war, and that's particularly what we depleted our stockpiles of. So this is just probably the best argument. The argument that Pete Hegseth and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dan Crane, should have been making to Donald Trump every single day was, Mr. President, maybe this is a good idea. Maybe you want to do this, but your lousy predecessor, sleepy Joe Biden, slept away while all of his, little gremlins took all the American weapons and sent them to Ukraine, and we're just not in a position to fight this war. We don't have the interceptors. We don't have the systems needed to defend our troops, to defend U.S. military bases in the Middle East, to defend our allies in the Middle East, so we simply cannot do this right now. You know, you could leave here as president saying that you rebuilt and replenished the American stockpiles after Joe Biden emptied them, but you don't have the military capability to fight a war with Iran. Of course, Pete Hegseth is either too incompetent or loves killing. I'm starting to settle on the fact that Hegseth really isn't as stupid as he looks and as drunk as he looks all the time. He really just loves killing people and loves seeing explosions. And that's why he's so on board with this policy, even though it's clearly put the American military in a bad place. And it's probably going to be, you know, one of the final straws that breaks the back of the camel of the American empire, right? We're seeing just all this load that they simply cannot carry, that this is going to end in disaster and catastrophe for the United States, and we are going to be shown to be weak. And not only that, our military is going to be significantly degraded by this conflict. Now, during this press conference, Pete Hegseth had one other thing that I just had to address. So let's roll this next clip.
Your old son popped into my office last night while I was editing these remarks. He asked about the war and the families I met at Dover. And I looked at him and I said, they died for you, son, so that your generation doesn't have to deal with a nuclear Iran. It's the truth. And they did. So to the families who said, finish this, we will. And I say the same to every American who wants peace through strength. May Almighty God continue to bless our troops in this fight. And again, to the American people, please pray for them. Every day, on bended knee, with your family, in your schools, in your churches, in the name of Jesus Christ.
It's hard to even put into words how much this infuriates me, the fact that he's using his religion to encourage this war, to sell this war, a religion that is supposed to be about peace, the true peace, not this idea of peace through strength, which means you kill anybody in the world who you think might one day have a problem with something that you're doing, and so therefore you have peace to do whatever the hell you want and control and dominate the globe. That's, you know, not peace, true peace that his religion teaches. So he's using his religion. He's using his son, probably a made up moment with his son. I highly doubt that he had this conversation. But the fact that he would tell his son that these people died so that his son didn't one day have to deal with a nuclear Iran, when just a few hours before, the U.S. Director of National Intelligence testified to Congress that Iran's military nuclear program had been completely destroyed during Operation Midnight Hammer, which Pete Hegseth loves to brag about, and how it destroyed Iran's nuclear program, and Iran was not rebuilding their nuclear program. So he's lying to his son. The real reason that those Americans died is because Pete Hegseth is either a coward or a monster and either loves war or is unable to stand up to Donald Trump. It's because Donald Trump thinks that he can go around the world doing whatever he wants, killing whoever he wants, and that is just going to work perfectly, and we're going to have this massive uprising of Iranians who love the United States of America and would rather sell oil to America's preferred countries than China, and that this is going to be some great boon for the U.S. empire. We'll show our military is capable of taking on any foe and completely demolishing them. And of course, this war is for Benjamin Netanyahu and his Greater Israel Project, who not only want regime change in Iran, but to completely destroy and to devastate the society. If Pete Hegseth was being honest, that's what he would have told his son. And of course, it's always sick and disgusting when U.S. politicians use service members who were killed in wars that they sent them to die in as reasons for continuing that conflict. All right, so next I want look into what the war in the Middle East looks like right now. This is Steve Sweeney, a British journalist who was working for RT on the ground in Lebanon.
The rocket attacks were reported against Nahariya and a minute.
Some days you want a little extra oomph to your usual look. Whether that's lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions mascara or awakening your eyes with a lasting lift and soft color with the Brilliant Eye Brightener. Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Whether you want a simple, just got to get out of the door routine or full glam, you'll always look and feel like the best version of yourself with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
So I really just want to ask Pete Hegseth where the Iranian nuclear program was underneath that journalist in Lebanon that Israel tried to blow him up and assassinate him. This is a targeted, seems to be a targeted strike on a member of the international press, a Western, a British journalist. Sure, he works for RT, but clearly he's just reporting what's going on in the Middle East. And Israel tried to murder him, likely with an American bomb. And then we do have a video. He was okay, by the way. He did sustain some injuries, but he is not gravely wounded or anything like that, and was actually able to post a video pretty shortly after of his response. So I wanted to play that too.
I guess so. Yeah, well, you've probably all seen the footage of the airstrike that took place in Sur district as we were reporting on the destruction of a bridge. We've been treated in hospital for our injuries. I had a shrapnel wound in my arm, deeply embedded in the muscle here. That's been taken out, and here it is in this pot here. But what I do want to say is that this was a deliberate targeted attack on journalists. There's no mistake about it. This was an Israeli precision strike from a fighter jet. What we were doing was we were reporting on the attacks on bridges, which is effectively severing South Lebanon from the rest of the country. 1 million people now internally displaced. This is the real story. It's not about us coming under attack as journalists. What we're seeing now and what we were reporting on is this plan for Israel to ethnically cleanse the south of Lebanon. This is without doubt an attack. This is on the scale of bigger than the scale of the Nakba. This is the forced displacement of 1 million people, which remains a war crime. And also, we have to say that attacking journalists is a war crime. Attacking civilian infrastructure is a war crime. But if they think that they're going to silence us, if they think that we're going to stay out of the field, they're very, very much mistaken.
So, very brave response. And first of all, to not make him the story, right? He just goes on, talks about what's happening in Lebanon, which, you know, we haven't done a whole lot of coverage on this show, a lot of attention on the, you know, war in Iran and the situation in the Persian Gulf. But, you know, Israel is at war again with Hezbollah, really the people of southern Lebanon, just at large, not just Hezbollah. Hezbollah seems to be doing quite a bit of damage, a lot of missiles and rockets getting through, bypassing the Israeli Iron Dome. It looks very rusted at this point and causing some substantial damage in Israel. And Israel has been just pummeling southern Lebanon, even up through the capital of Beirut, dropping airstrikes in central Beirut today. So hitting a lot of civilian targets, almost 1,000 people dead in Lebanon from the Israeli bombardment so far. And this, of course, is all part of the Greater Israel Project. Now, I found a couple of interesting polls today that I wanted to discuss. If we could pull up the first poll result, a majority of Americans believe the war with Iran benefits Israel more than the United States. And by a margin of almost 2-1, by the way, about 29% of Americans said the war benefits America more, compared to, I think, 56% of Americans who said that the war benefits Israel more. Now, of course, this disparity was widest among Democrats, where just a few percentage points of people said that this war benefits the United States more, an overwhelming number saying Israel more. With independents, I think it was about a quarter who said they think it supports America more. But most importantly here, I found very interesting, even among Republicans, a plurality said 47% said the war benefits Israel more compared to, I think, 42 or 43% who said this, the war benefits the United States more. So even a plurality of Republicans understand that this is a conflict for Israel. Now, this conflict is widely unpopular with Americans. This same poll found that there was about 50% of independents who would be willing to vote based on this war, were less likely to vote for Republicans based on this war. Now, that sounds like a massive gain for the Democrats. However, this poll also posed a hypothetical scenario. They said to the American voters, if there is a Republican and a Democratic candidate running for Congress in your race, and their position is indistinguishable on Israel, and in the sense that in support of Israel, the majority of respondents said they would vote for the Republican. And so understand that while this war is vastly unpopular and it's going to hurt the GOP, the Democrats are not necessarily in a position to gain because of their own cowardice and incompetence, because they are not coming out and really steadfast against this war. There are a few voices, Ro Khanna in particular, comes to mind first. Senator Van Hollen, I think from Maryland, is another one who is somewhat vocal in his opposition. But, the majority of the party, the most of them are not vocally opposed to this conflict, are not going to call for the U.S. to cut the special relationship with Israel, to stop fighting wars in the Middle East for Israel, to end American aid to Israel. And if they're not going to stand up on that issue, if they're not going to put candidates up against Republicans that differ on the position of Israel, then they're not going to do as well in the midterms as I thought they might. And it doesn't seem to me that there's a major shift in the Democratic Party. We may get, some action on that and figure out where the Democrats really stand when this $200 billion or probably $250 or $300 billion by the time it's all done, supplemental aid bill starts to work its way through Congress. We'll figure out where the Democrats stand on this issue. My guess is that there will probably be some, maybe like a third of Democrats who vote against it. But my guess is even the majority of Democrats join all the Republicans, except maybe Thomas Massie and Rand Paul, in voting for this military spending. So next up here, I wanted to mention, and this kind of follows up on a story we've been talking about on the show over the past week, FBI investigating whether departed counterterrorism official leaked classified info. So this is about Joe Kent, the former head of the National Counterterrorism Center, and this is from the AP. The FBI is investigating whether Joe Kent, who resigned his position as the top counterterrorism official this week in protest of the Iran war, improperly shared classified information, a person familiar with the matter said. The investigation proceeds Kent's resignation Tuesday from his role as director of the U.S. government's National Counterterrorism Center, said the person who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss an ongoing FBI inquiry. So first off, just want to point out, I guess, the irony here of this story is leaked to the press by some member of the Trump administration about a Trump administration engaged in an investigation of somebody leaking to the press. And so shouldn't this person be under investigation as well? Of course not. This is an official leak. I don't think there's probably a real investigation. My guess is that Joe Kent isn't particularly concerned about this. And this is a means to do two things. One is to smear Joe Kent, who is a thorn in the side of the Republican administration right now. He's giving an extra voice, an expert for people on the right who are opposed to this war site, and say, look, even Joe Kent, even a Green Beret who did 11 tours, who served in the CIA, who is no coward, who is okay with killing if it benefits the United States of America, is against this war. Not only that, he's calling out the war as being a war for Israel, And also sends a message to anybody else thinking of doing the same. If, you know, Tulsi Gabbard or somebody else in the administration were thinking about giving a resignation letter, now they also have to consider that they're probably going to have to deal with at least being smeared in the press as a leaker, if not dealing with some, you know, rigged up investigation where even if there's no chance that you go to jail, you do have to defend yourself publicly and you maybe have to hire a lawyer and spend some money. And so it's just, it's not an advantageous situation to be in. Now, on this point of Tulsi Gabbard potentially resigning, I did want to mention something here because I see a lot of people saying, well, you know, it'd be okay if Tulsi resigned, but it's good that there's somebody in the administration that may be dissenting of some unnecessary foreign policy, right? Like, you would imagine that the person who replaces Tulsi Gabbard probably won't be somebody who once sold t-shirts saying no war with Iran on their campaign website and may have worse instincts when it comes to Iran. But the problem with that is Tulsi Gabbard clearly doesn't have influence in the Trump administration. The reporting from inside, you know, the White House has said that she's absolutely isolated and, you know, designated to the sidelines of all the discussions. And look, she's never going to win back Trump's favor by doing what she did on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, by telling the Senate what she told them, by dancing around the question, right? You know, there's a reason that Trump likes Pam Bondi. It's because she's just going to go, you know, kind of full Trump on these people and not even bother with their questions and just levy personal attacks and, you know, read what sounds like true social posts at the members of the Senate. And so Tulsi is never going to like sell her soul enough and degrade herself enough to gain favor with Donald Trump. But she's also giving support to the administration. So I really think it's time that Tulsi Gabbard resign and get out of the administration. Hopefully it creates something of a cascade effect where more and more people in the administration feel that they now have cover to come out, resign, and say, this isn't what I signed up for when I had joined the administration. I joined the administration of a president who said that he decisively opposed going to war with Iran and needless wars in the Middle East. Now, just to get into how poorly this war is going for the United States, this is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
We had a break the glass plan across the administration and at Treasury. We unsanctioned Russian oil. We knew that there were about 130 million barrels on the water, and we created supply that is beyond the Straits of Hormuz. So we anticipated this. We knew that there could be a temporary, and I want to emphasize temporary, choke point there. And there was 130 million barrels of floating storage. In the coming days, we may unsanction the Iranian oil that's on the water. It's about 140 million barrels. So depending on how you count it, that's 10 days to 2 weeks of supply that the Iranians had been pushing out. That would have all gone to China. In essence, we will be using the Iranian barrels against the Iranians to keep the price down, you know, for the next 10 or 14 days as we continue this campaign.
So absolutely. The whole thing is unbelievable. First, it's read like a hostage statement, right? Like, he really knows he shouldn't be saying this. That makes absolutely no sense. That is completely ridiculous that it gives away how poorly this war is going, but yet he's being forced to say it. Now, one of the amazing things is he is talking about there. He said, we had a plan in the White House, a break the glass plan, right? He's talking about the analogy, like, you know, you got a glass panel that says like break in case of emergency. And that's like, you know, you're shutting everything down. Yeah, there's going to be some long-term bad consequences from doing that. But if you don't, you're going to have an absolutely catastrophic plan situation on your hand. So he's saying that they did that in the first few days of the war. right? They were already on their emergency last case. This is the worst possible thing going on. We can't have this. We have to do everything we can to prevent that. They put that plan in place within a week. They were starting to lift the sanctions on the Russian oil. And look, they are doing a lot to try to keep the price of oil around $100 a barrel. They're releasing from the strategic reserves of essentially every Western nation. They're unsanctioning Venezuela. They're suspending the Jones Act. They are lifting sanctions on Russia, as we discussed. And then he says, we're also thinking of lifting the sanctions on the Iranian tankers. Now, I'm not sure this is going to have really the intended effect that Bessent is kind of pointing for, that it's just going to drop the price of oil on the international stage. And also, all this oil will be priced in yuan. So it's not necessarily going to help the dollar, because this oil is probably going to China. So we're at this absolutely absurd point in the war where Iran is selling oil, and our Treasury Secretary is telling the American people that this is really a secret trick that we're using against the Iranians by letting them sell their oil, right? If this were the case that Iran could hurt the United States, they would be blowing up their own oil tankers. But they're not, because they understand that this benefits them in the long term of the war to be able to sell some portion of their oil and get funding and revenue for that, which they're going to use to fuel their war efforts. So just absolutely unbelievably stupid. Now, the U.S. is doing this because of Israel. So Donald, over, I think it was Tuesday night into Wednesday, Israel struck a facility tied to the South Pars natural gas field, which is the largest natural gas field in the world. It's split between Iran and Qatar, and facility in Iran tied to that oil field. And Iran said, we are going to respond by attacking oil fields and oil infrastructure in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar. And so Donald Trump then kind of scrambles to give a response, because immediately the price of oil goes up $5 to $8 a barrel. So Donald Trump then comes out and says, Israel, out of anger for what has taken place in the Middle East, has violently lashed out at a major oil facility known as South Pars gas field in Iran. The United States knew nothing about this particular attack, and the country of Qatar in no way, shape, form involved in it, nor did it have any idea that it was going to happen. So I just want to stop there real quick and kind of down what Trump is saying, because he's lying all over the place here. First of all, the U.S. was informed about this attack. It seems there's some discrepancy over whether Trump actually endorsed it, full-on approved it, but the U.S. certainly was aware of the attack. And also, as I think the precedent has been set, and the White House has to know, because we saw this with the Israeli attempted assassination of Hamas leadership in Qatar, where Israel said after that strike that the Americans were aware of it and they didn't stop us. And so if the U.S. is aware that Israel is going to do something, if they don't get an explicit red light from the Americans, then that serves as them to a green light. And so the Trump administration knows this, Israel knows this, and so effectively the Americans were responsible, or at least, you know, in part responsible for that attack and were aware of it. Now, the other thing Trump tries to do here is he tries to say that, look, you know, we shouldn't be punished for this, right? Qatar shouldn't be punished for this. But in reality, the U.S. and Israel elected to start a war with Iran. You don't get to dictate the rules of a war when you start it by launching a surprise attack, an unprovoked attack in the middle of negotiations. And you start the war by killing the country's leader and blowing up a school full of girls. You don't get to say, oh, this war has certain guardrails, like you can't close the Strait of Hormuz and you can't blow up Qatar's oil facilities because why? You broke all the rules by attacking Iran to start this conflict in the first place. Iran rightfully feels like it's in an existential battle for the existence of its society at this point. Israel, one of the parties to this conflict, is undoubtedly trying to destroy the Persian society with this war. So, you know, Donald Trump doesn't get to then say, the Qataris aren't participating, especially when we just had an article in the Wall Street Journal today explaining how the U.S. is launching all kinds of ground-based ballistic missiles from all of these Gulf Arab countries. We're flying over their airspace to drop bombs on Iran. So, of course, all these countries from the Iranian perspective are involved in the conflict. Now, I do want to go back to Trump's True Social post because he has something down closer to the end. He went on to say that it threatened that if Iran attacked Qatar, the U.S. would destroy Iranian oil facilities. He's got a whole bunch of all caps and bold, but he says that, you know, if Iran attacks Qatari oil fields, then the U.S. is going to destroy all of Iran's oil or energy facilities tied to the South Pars field, which, if he does it, it's going to drive the price of oil absolutely crazy. And he's also saying that we're not even going to, Israel won't have to do it, we'll do it ourselves. We've seen Donald Trump make these kind of threats before. I'm not sure if he's actually serious about it. It seems almost too counterproductive. But Iran did not listen to Trump's threat, and there was a major attack on a Qatari energy facility. I have this article from Reuters discussing it. Exclusive: Iran attack wipes out 17% of Qatar's LNG capacity for up to 5 years, the Qatar Energy CEO said. And they explained that the Iranian attacks have knocked out 70% of Qatar's liquefied natural gas export capacity, causing an estimated $20 billion in annual revenue and threatening supplies to Europe and Asia, Qatar Energy's CEO told Reuters on Thursday. And so he's saying that the repairs will make it so that Qatar cannot export 1.8 million tons of LNG per year for 3 to 5 years. So this is going to be a massive spike in the global energy price. We'll see if Donald Trump follows through on his threat to attack the Iranian energy facilities. It seems baffling that he would follow through on that threat, and at the same time, his administration will be lifting sanctions on Iranian oil exports. But that's really the, you know, this war was based on lies. It had no clear objective. Israel has the strongest objective. Their objective is to completely destroy Iran. And so the Trump administration's policy makes no sense whatsoever. I don't think the president has the cognitive ability to understand what's going on and is making really poor choices, and his advisors aren't putting good choices in front of him either. All right, everybody, that will do it for the show today. Please like, share, and subscribe to the channel. We are a growing channel. We're building momentum, and that's because so many of you great listeners take the time to like, share, and subscribe. So I really appreciate when you guys do that, and we will be back with a full list of shows Monday at 4:45 Eastern.